Peter Bouchier is with us today. He's the Chief Ombudsman. And investigating the MIQ booking system, he has been asked to look at that. A warm welcome to you once again, Peter. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale. Atamarie.
It's good to catch up with you again. Thanks for sharing some time with us this morning.
Always good to talk on your show, Dale.
Thank you. Why are you investigating the MIQ booking system, Peter?
Sometimes the sheer number of complaints we receive in the office is a bit of a temperature gauge on how people out there are feeling. And in my time here, which is just coming up for 6 years, I've never seen an issue raise as much concern and as many complaints. So just since the 1st of July this year, 200 complaints have come in about aspects of the MIQ system. And we just felt it was time to do a deep dive and see what was going on and what might be the explanation for so much discontent.
For many of our people stuck overseas, unable to attend tangi, almost a cultural norm, I wonder, of those 200 complaints that you've received officially, have many of them been from Māori wanting to address the issue, Peter?
Yes, a number of Māori want to return for the very reason that you've set out. And interestingly enough, Dale, with the increase in importance of Te Tiriti o Waitangi and us understanding what Te Ao Māori means for Māori, we want to look at the system insofar as it won't let Māori, because of the orders in place, return to their marae and their tūranga waiwai for really important occasions. That's something that I want to have regard to when I look at the aspect of unlawfulness. Most of the stories, or a lot of the stories, are very heart-wrenching. People who want to be associated and with loved ones where time means everything. And it doesn't stand still, and they miss out on being there, often at the time of death. It's a very, very heart-wrenching scene out there.
We appreciate, too, that there are many in similar conditions unable to get home for their loved ones who are non-Māori, but certainly New Zealand residents. The tales of hardship must be quite distressing at times, and the inability to act upon them also frustrating as well. What have been some of your other observations about the myriad of issues that have been raised or directed towards your office, Peter?
Right. Well, what we decided to do to manage the number of complaints, see, I knew that if we investigated every single complaint individually and didn't look at everything in a logical, rational way, we'd never get through everything. We'd just get behind in the backlog of work. So we've essentially put all of the complaints into four streams, and we're looking to see those that say it's unlawful, some say it's unfair, some say that it's not fit for purpose, and a number complain that it's just poorly managed. Now, to quickly tell you what those four streams encompass, with unlawfulness, the argument is that under the Bill of Rights Act, you have the right to come and go as a citizen of New Zealand, and I've already covered with you that specific aspect of Te Tiriti or Waitangi for Māori. With the unfairness, and there was just something I heard on Radio New Zealand this morning, many say it's just not fair that you go into a queue, the lottery system, you don't get a place and then you start all over again, and a number say that that's just unfair and not logical. With the unfitness for purpose, the fact is that there aren't enough spaces for those wanting those spaces, so there is never going to be an answer to the problem, and so it is said that the MIQ system just isn't fit for purpose. The poorly managed aspect deals with those that say, look, you're not giving anyone priority. For instance, if I've been double vaccinated and I've come from a country where there is little evidence of COVID-19, why am I treated the same as someone who hasn't been vaccinated and who comes from a more risky country? So there are a number that say that it's not discerning enough in who it gives any degree of priority to.
How long are you anticipating this investigation will take, Peter?
We've done quite a bit of work already, and I want to press on and get this done by early next year. So I'm looking at the end of January, by which time to finish a provisional report. That means a lot of hard work for some of the staff, but there is no point in this one being prolonged. There are a number of people who want to get back home. I never felt we could do this in time for Christmas, but we can certainly do it as quickly as we can.
How binding would the outcome of your investigations be on the government? Can you make the report, but they can ignore it? What's their responsibility?
Well, generally speaking, I found that when I make a report and give recommendations, and because we're designated as an officer of parliament by statute, it does give us really good standing and gravitas as far as parliament's concerned. So our way of operating is we do a report, we line it up with the clerk of parliament to table, and it's there announced by the speaker on the day. It does carry a lot of weight. So although we don't have the force of, say, a court order where you're in contempt unless you do it, I've found that generally when we make recommendations, government agencies will implement those recommendations. I need to manage expectations, Dale, and which is why it's good to talk to you and your listeners. I'm not in a position to say, you know, of 100 complainants, look, you should get a voucher, and I recommend that you do. I'm not allowed to go that far. It's more a systems look. And if I say, I think you've failed to have regard to, for instance, improvements in technology and you haven't looked at a better system of allocation and you should change it, that's pretty binding.
And if you see that the rights of our people regarding the treaty have been contravened, that too would be binding?
Well, the slight complication with that part of the investigation is that there are also High Court proceedings brought by a group called Grounded Kiwis, and they are testing the Bill of Rights Act applicability in the High Court. Now, I need to just be really careful about how that unfolds and develops, because it may be as a part of that High Court case that same issue of rights pursuant to Te Tiriti or Waitangi is covered. But I would say, what I want to say to you is I want to have this on my radar so that as that High Court case proceeds and as I also look at this aspect of the whole investigation, I'm having regard to what's a fair and proper and reasonable outcome for Māori.
Peter, thank you for sharing some cordial with our peeps today. Really appreciate it, and all the best. I look forward to talking with you next time. Mauri ora kākwe.
Thanks, Dale. All the best. Thank you. Good to talk. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peter.